65. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Sayre and Elk City, Oklahoma. It's Friday, everybody. I know you know that, but Friday's my favorite day. Let's check out some weather temperatures from our listening area. 61 at Hollis, way down there at Granville at 66, 59 at Bessie, 58 at Cheyenne. As you guys all well know, is home of the secret weapon. 55 at Arnett, 54 at Slapout, 56 at the May Ranch, 49 at Lahoma. Out here in the Panhandle to the west of us, 55 at Lipscomb, 55 at Canadian, 56 at Miami, 60 degrees at Wellington, 61 degrees at Childress, and 62 degrees across the Red River Bridge south of Altus there at Odell. All kinds of things happening today in our ag world. The WADSE report is out, and I actually got it before the show started, so I'll go over with that here in just a little bit. Another, what else news is going on? Nothing major going on, I don't think, that's crazy. We are live on 96.5 KECO here in Elk City, 100.1 KWFX out at Woodward. We're live on Facebook. We're live on the KECOFM.com website. And we got a free app, Paragon Communications, that you can download on your phone. Listen to me anywhere in the world if you want to. And so easy to find out. The new Penny News was out yesterday. And little heads up from the Atwoods insert in there. If you go to the very, very back page on it, for $149.99, save $50 on the 1600 amp power station, and it's almost $200. It's the one I got. It works really good. You just charge it up, and I've had that one in my truck for 2 weeks now. The other day I plugged it in just to make sure it hadn't gone down, and about 5 minutes later the red light was solid, so it didn't lose any power. It's a pretty good deal. Also, they got 10% off on all of their trailers they got out there in their parking lot. Whether you're at Clinton, Woodward, Elk City, Altus, check it out. Insert's pretty good in our new Penny News that came out yesterday. All right, let's see what happened overnight in our ag world. Soybeans were modestly higher in overnight trading on continued signs of demands for U.S. supplies. The USDA reported another sale of soybeans, this one for 121,000 metric tons to a John Doe country. Everybody wonders, who's John Doe? We don't know. It always says unnamed country, which is the silliest crap I've ever seen. That follows an announcement yesterday of a sales of 136,000 tons of beans to China. Exporters also reported separate sales of 372,000 and 198,000 tons of soft red winter wheat on Thursday and Wednesday. Also supporting soybean prices are renewed concerns about dry weather in parts of Brazil, the world's biggest exporter of oil seeds. Rains are expected in parts of several states in South American country. I'm not even going to name them because you guys don't want to hear me try to pronounce them. But anyway, you get my message there. According to Don Kenning, agriculture meteorologist for MaxR, still he said a lack of precipitation will affect some growing areas through Sunday. Limited rains in northern areas throughout the weekend will maintain dryness and crop stress, but improvements are expected next week. I will let you know that I sent a text out to my favorite meteorologist, Lacey Swope, a while ago, and she texted me back, said there is no extreme cold weather even looking at us until maybe after Christmas, which is what, 17 days away, a little over 2 weeks away. but she wasn't optimistic about that either. So I'll just let you know, we got pretty decent weather for the next few weeks. So get some of them outside projects done, and the wheat pasture and rye is all growing right now. My wheat that up there in that one field, man, it's getting it. But I'm also feeding the deer also. Soybean futures for November delivery rose 7.5 cents to $13.19 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soybean meal added $2.30 to $409.10 a short ton, while soy oil gained 0.2 cents to 51.33 cents a pound. Corn futures rose 0.75 cents to $4.88 a bushel. Wheat futures for December delivery fell 5 cents to $6.37 a bushel in Chicago, while Kansas City futures lost a penny to $6.66 a bushel. Sales of corn, soybeans, and wheat for export were all lower week to week, according to data from the United States Department of Agriculture. Corn sales to overseas buyers in the 7 days that ended on November 30th was reported at 1.29 million metric tons. That's down 33% from the previous week and 17% from the prior four-week average. China, they were the big boys. They were the big buyers this time. 443,000 tons. Japan was the big buyer, and China was 274,000 tons. Mexico was 230,000 tons. Panama purchased 81,000 tons of U.S. corn, and Colombia coming there, 78,000 tons. A lot of corn being exported, which is good for the business. Exports reached 1.09 million tons. That's up considerably week over week. Soybean sales fell 20% week to week and 21% from the average to 1.52 million metric tons. China bought 565,000 tons. Spain bought 240,000 tons. The Netherlands bought 182,000 tons. And Japan bought 116,000 tons. Mexico was right in there at 91,000 tons. Exports for the week totaled 1.34 million tons, down 10% on a weekly basis. Wheat sales totaled 356,000 tons, down 43% from the week prior, but up 8% from the average. Taiwan, China, Philippines, and who else? Indonesia, they all bought quite a bit, anywhere from 50,000 to 100,000 tons. Exports for the week for wheat fell 42% to 198,000 tons, according to the USDA. Weather-wise, not a whole lot going on in start, except for the whole state of North Dakota and parts of Montana, Minnesota, and South Dakota will all see winter weather advisories into the weekend, according to the National Weather Service. The advisories will take effect this morning and last through early tomorrow. As much as 4 inches of snow, but the 55-mile-an-hour gust is what's going to get them. So there you go. Not a whole lot going on there. All right, I got something that came out from the Oklahoma Conservation Commission. The OCC has launched the Soil Health. Has launched the Soil Health Implementation Program, called CHIP, a new initiative to improve soil health across Oklahoma's agriculture landscapes. Approved unanimously by the commissioners on December 12th, CHIP aims to provide comprehensive soil conservation solutions in both rural and urban areas. The program, led by the OCC Soil Health Team, focuses on conservation practice that builds land and operation resilience by improving the eco health system, and it combines technical assistance and financial incentives to encourage the adoption of soil health practices among agriculture producers. CHIP offers up to $40,000 over 3 years to approved applicants aiming to make a significant impact on their soil conservation. In addition to improving direct support to landowners, CHIP will collect data to improve the state's whole soil health database and conduct educational outreach to foster a network of producer mentorship. These efforts target critical environmental challenges like soil and water quality degradation. So there you go. This is pretty cool. As soon as we get some more information from our local soil conservation offices, I will talk some more about it. This is pretty exciting. I think it's great. We've been taking all these years. Now it's time to start giving a little bit back. So we'll have that. Well, today is the Wheeler General Store happy hour. When I come back, I'll have some more on the Wheeler General Store, Nathan and his wife out there, and we'll talk a little more about them. And coming up, we'll have some numbers from some feeders that have been selling at the sale barns up to the north. I compiled some numbers from three or four of the sale barns up there to let you know what's going on out there. Elk City Livestock Auction is going on right now. Matter of fact, if you guys would like to go out there and go to the cafe, I'm going to be nice today and tell the ladies that I send them my love and that they'll make you a good special. I had one guy text me in earlier. I'll repeat what he said. You weren't kidding about those cooks at the Elk City sale barn. The coffee was free, but they wanted $5 for ice to put in it. So anyway, go out there and tell them I said hello and get you a great cheeseburger or whatever their special is today. And the sale's going on. See what the calves are bringing here. They'll probably start selling the calves here pretty quick. So anyway, we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
When your tractor has a flat, you're stuck. When your truck's on a construction site and a tire goes down, you're in trouble. You need help. So you call down to Blair, and they come to you. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed, Highway 283 and 19. On-site tire service, 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, December 1st. 1,238 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 461 brought 305. 8 at 477 brought 304. 5 at 539 brought 250. 6 at 582 brought 255. 6 at 618 brought 259. 3 at 660 brought 241. 4 at 756 brought 216. 4 head of heifers at 439 brought 242. 9 at 567 brought 220. 11 at 588 brought 213. 13 at 627 brought 214. 7 at 655 brought 185. Butcher cows were 28 to 113. Butcher bulls brought 43 to 121. Bred cows were 400 to 2,300. Pairs brought 400 to 1,800. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
You can buy parts anywhere, but the people at our store are different than people at other stores. And if they're not, we're going to make them different. They should be more knowledgeable. They should be more friendly. They should be more customer-oriented. They should be part of the community. We pride ourselves of doing business with people. You can buy parts anywhere. It's the people that make the difference.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
SEI Agritech is excited to announce they're now open with their new LNC blending feed facility for their new product line at SEI Agritech, 1400 South Randall in Elk City. With all the feed rations that you've come to know and trust. The new facility is the only LNC blending facility in the area. SEI Agritech in Elk City now open their new facility in their current location, 1400 South Randall in Elk City. For more information, give Kent a call at 580-225-0317.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
Hey, Today in Ag listeners, this is Jared Clark with South Star JCB. We carry a variety of wheel loaders, excavators, telehandlers, skid steers, and several other types of equipment. Please give me a call at 469-325-7466. That's 469-325-7466. Check us out on the web, southstartxjcb.com. That's southstartxjcb.com. I'd love to sell you one. Thank you and God bless you.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, welcome back. Currently here at the Gabe Gadsden Mesonet Center, we have 57 degrees, 31% humidity. The winds are out the north around 10 miles an hour here. Goodlet, Texas, 62 degrees, humidity's 23. Dew points 24. The winds are out of the northwest at 8 with gusts up to 11. Peak wind gust so far today, 28 miles an hour. No month-to-date precipitation in Goodlet. Red flag minutes, 0. Sub minutes, 0. 8-inch soil temperature is 54 degrees. Looks like it's warmed up about 4 or 5 degrees in the last 3 days, which is good. That makes the wheat and the rye and all that other good stuff grow. All right, let's see what the commodities are doing right now. And looks like December corn is basically unchanged at 469. March is down 2 at 485. Soybeans down 12 at 1299 for January. March is 1318, down 11. Soybean meal for December, 421.90, down $2.60. January's 404, even. Down $2.80. Soybean oil is down a fraction, like 0.08 cents at 51.03 for December, 50.26 for January, down almost a penny. Hard red winter wheat up 669 for December. March is 661. It's down 5. And let's see what cotton's doing. Cotton's in the red today. March cotton 81.42, down a penny, 1.17 cents. How about that? May is 81.93, down 1. July is 82.27, down 1 also. What's oil doing out in West Texas? Up $1.49 today. January is 70.83, up $1.44 for February at 71.03. Natural gas, what's it doing? Basically unchanged for January at 2.58. February's 251, down 0.009, and March is 238, down 0.014. All right, let's see. The NASDAQ, the Dow, S&P are all in the green today. Not by much, but they're at least trading positive. Meats, live cattle, December, 164.90, up $2.55. February's 165.45, up 292. April's 168.85, up 290. Feeder cattle for January up nicely today at 215.57, up $5.30. March is 216.02, up 485. April's 219, up 457. And May is 221.92, up 432. Hogs are in the green for the first time in quite a while. Lean hogs for December, 68 even, up 45 cents. February, 68.57, up 80. April, 75.52, up 90. And May's 82.90, up 80. And that's about what is going on there. Okay, let's check out some cattle from up north. And looks like on the average, from what I see compared to last week, feeder steers are $2 to $6 lower. Feeder heifers are unevenly steady. Steer calves $6 to $12 lower. Heifer calves $15 to $20 lower. Demand was light to moderate in most of these places. Let's check out some prices here. Let's go with some steers weighing 382. Unweaned brought 318. Some on the 4 to 5 weights, looks like they were bringing anywhere from 269 up to, there was some 416 pounders brought 318. And five weights, 290 was top end. Looks like 278 was on the average on weaned ones and 262 on unweaned ones. Six weights, bringing up to 239 is the highest I see on here. 665s were bringing 239. some unweaned 635-pounders, average 218.91, and then some seven-weight steers, 217 was the top end, 218 was the top end on average. Some unweaned ones brought 212, and then some eight-weights bringing up to 220, and some nine-weights, top end I see there was 948-weights brought $1.93, which is still pretty good. On the heifers, some unweaned 394 weights brought 249. Some unweaned 5 weights brought 208. The average 532 on them weights. And then some 6 weights were bringing up to 207 top end. And then some 7 weight heifers were bringing 202. And some 8 weight heifers $1.93. And some 9 weights brought $1.67, along with some 1,006 pounders. Brought $1.67.50. So that's what's going on up in the northern part of the state. Let's see here. Wheeler General Store. Are you still looking for some deer corn? Are you still hunting? There's still a lot of hunting going on. The Wheeler General Store is fully stocked with corn, attractants, game cameras, feeders, and much, much more. While you're looking for a hunting accessories, be sure to check out their different meat seasonings, Elk Creek, Meat Church, Traeger, just to name a couple. Feed season is here, not around the corner. It is here. The Wheeler General Store has been a high pro dealer for 10 years. They deliver feed to ranches and stores all over the Texas Panhandle, Oklahoma, Kansas, and yes, New Mexico. For prices, contact the one and only Nathan Heffley, 806-826-5531. 806-826-5531. The Wheeler General Store is located at 15868 Highway 152, just outside of Wheeler, Texas, right there on the east side on 152. As always, they look forward to serving you. Well, let's go ahead and take a Wheeler General Store break. Come back. Let's see what the government brought out with their World Agriculture Supply and demand estimates. It's probably the reason why the market was so much changed from what happened overnight. So we'll be right back over after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We feel like we want to be good stewards of our depositors' money. It's what keeps Community Bank going for as long as it has. This bank's seen it all. Starting 1901, you've seen a few droughts. You've seen some market crashes. Oil and gas come and go a few different times, you know, from the 50s to the 80s to the 20-teens. And we're here. We never sit there and go, oh, man, I hope our doors are going to be open tomorrow. We're going to be there. There's no doubt in my mind. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
That life insurance that I have on myself, it's not for me. It's for my wife, that she doesn't have to sell the home. She doesn't have to go worry about how am I going to make this car payment. How am I going to come up with the cost out of pocket to pay this funeral? Because, you know, that's an expensive cost. And it's a cost that you're going to have. If you had a machine in your garage that made money, it was a money-making machine. You went out every day and you flipped the switch on that machine and it generated money to pay your bills. Would you insure that machine? I've never had anybody say no. Sure they would. Well, you are that machine. You flip your switch on every morning when you get up. You flip your switch on when you go to work. But yet we don't insure ourselves. It doesn't make any sense to me. Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Calling all rural residents of western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle. Are you tired of hauling off your own trash? Call D&G Trash Hauling. They can have a dumpster delivered to you in no time. D&G offers weekly or bi-weekly pickup, four different sized dumpsters, there's no contracts or hidden fees, and they have affordable rates. Your satisfaction is always top priority at D&G Trash Hauling. For more information, give them a call at 580-497-1234. That's 580-497-1234. Let D&G Trash get rid of your trash. At Lone Star Gin, 4.5 miles south of Pampa, Texas on Highway 70, our mission is to provide superior customer service to our producers while getting their cotton ginned in a timely manner. We possess 120 plus bale per hour capacity, high-tech moisture systems, on-site sampling, and we move cotton in a timely manner from the field to the gin. With excellent hands-on marketing, our gin is designed to maximize profits for our farmers. Visit us at www.lonestargin.com or give us a call 806-665-0677.
Whether you graze livestock or produce hay from perennial forages, the Night Latch Group helps farmers and ranchers manage production risk by utilizing the federal crop insurance programs. The Pasture Range and Forage Rainfall Insurance Program signups for the 24 calendar year are now till December 1st. PRF provides needed cash flow and pays producers during periods of below average rainfall. Insure your operation against lack of rainfall with no money up front. Hold on to your ag investment with the Night Latch Group, 580-334-7995. Remember, even wet years have dry spells.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Buffalo, Oklahoma, here you go. It's 57 degrees right now. 33 is your dew point, 41 is humidity. The winds are out of the north-northeast at 12 miles an hour with wind gusts up to 17 miles an hour. 10-day rainfall total so far, 0.54 inches, a little over half an inch. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 44 degrees. 1-day average 10-inch fractional water, 0.2, pretty dry up there. Sunset 5:22, mostly sunny and 61 today with north winds. Tonight 34, north winds. Tomorrow a little breezy, 49 degrees. Winds will be out of the north, 16 to 23 miles an hour with wind gust up to 30 and 35 miles an hour. So it's going to be a little chilly out there with the wind blowing like it is. Also, I got lots coming up on Today in Ag. Interviews and stuff like that coming up. Monday, we're going to have the gentleman in here from Clinton, Oklahoma that owns Kirsch Detailing. He's going to, if you'll get on the Penny News, right under the Get the Penny News in your mailbox every week ad, you'll see it on there. It's really cool what he's doing with construction and agriculture equipment, ceramic coatings, anti-corrosion clear coats, making tractors look brand new. And as expensive as things are today, you want to maintain that resale value on your tractors out there on the farm. He'll be on here Monday. Let's see, I got Andrew Hill's going to be on here next Friday to talk about some hoop houses that they build that are pretty much western Oklahoma and Texas Panhandle wind resistant. He's had some up there in the Oklahoma Panhandle now for 3 or 4 years. They've withstood the stands. We're going to talk about hoop houses where you can grow, I'm not talking marijuana, I'm talking vegetables and stuff like that. So we got, he'll be on here. And then also Shelly Nutt with the Texas Peanut Board is going to be on here next week to talk about what, how the peanuts and stuff did in Texas. And then also, if you guys remember, I had a gentleman on here from the Oklahoma Peanut Commission. It's been about 6-7 months ago, not the most recent one. He was talking about that they're doing some experimenting with peanuts at Texas A&M with AgriLife to make alternative fuels from peanuts. With they partnered up with Chevron Oil Company. Well, I got a hold of the man in charge, Dr. John Kaysen, and he's going to be on sometime next week also to talk about how this is progressing and updates and what they're doing. I think it's really cool because if you remember back in World War II, they used peanut oil for fuel or peanut fuel for their submarine, so they didn't smoke like diesel engines does. So anyway, some cool stuff coming up next week on the show. Yep. All right, so guess what day it is? It's the December 8th. What usually happens sometime late January or into February? People start planting oats. Open fields this winter are prime candidates for spring forage crop. Spring planted oats can provide many possibilities for farmers. Typically in Oklahoma, oats are mainly grown for hay, but also can provide a quick grazing pasture that can bridge the gap until summer pasture is available or even provide cover for a summer crop. While oats can be grazed, the crop can't handle intensive grazing as well as some of the dual-purpose varieties of wheat, rye, and triticale. Typically, a planting dates for Oklahoma are mid-February to mid-March. A minimum average daily soil temperature of 45 degrees is needed to avoid germination issues, but waiting until 50 degrees is reached would be more ideal. Sowing oats will be very similar to other small grains like wheats, but oats are much lighter, about 32 pounds per bushel. Seeding rates range from 80 to 120, sorry about that, an acre, depending on planting conditions and seed costs. Conventionally tilled fields often have better stand establishment and early seeding vigor, but direct seeding into no-till can still be adequate when previous crop residues are minimum. Higher seeding rates often are beneficial to achieving forage production goals. Producers should note seed quality and adjust seeding rates accordingly. Ideally, germination rates should be higher than 85%. Spring planted oats usually will not tiller much, so adequate seeding rates can be critical to production for single stem plants. When selecting oat varieties, one characteristic to inquire about should be maturity. Short maturity oat varieties produce more grain. Medium and longer maturity oats varieties tend to yield more forage, according to the research from the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension. Confirm these statements. Longer maturities are also were preferred when using for one-time hay harvest. Spring planted winter oats likely will yield less forage than fall-sown winter wheat. Grazing forage production potential from spring planted oats will average 1,500 to 2,000 pounds of forage per acre. Actual rates of nitrogen should be about 40 to 60 pounds to produce this amount of forage, since oat seedlings are not stress tolerant, are as stress tolerant as wheat. It's recommended to wait until the crop is 6 to 8 inches tall before initiating grazing. About 30 to 65 days of grazing should be expected out of oats. So anyway, well, I'm going to argue with a little bit on this. I no-tilled my oats last year and into my summer forage that I had there from a year ago or the summer before, and they did wonderful. Averaged three and a half bales the acre, almost 3,500 pounds, and got my seed from, where did I get that seed from? Oh, I got it from Knoll down in Hobart. It was really good, and it turned out good. So I'll argue a little bit with that one, and I hadn't even had any fertilizer on it, so it did good. And so, but anyway, as usual, sometimes oat seed is hard to find. So if you're planning on planting some oats this spring, coming up in February, might go ahead and find you some now. Because last year I got lucky, and Scott down there at Hobart found me some, and I got it done. It was good. It was last minute. I decided last minute. So I'm just going to give you a heads up on that. If you are going to do that, then go ahead and start checking for you some seed right now. Okay, you guys heard me talk about, what is that, Section 12 out there in California where the mama pigs got to have so many square feet and all this other stuff, and they're doing the same thing in Massachusetts. I didn't know this was going on, so I'm going to give you just a tidbit for the day. There's a lawsuit challenging Arizona's cage-free egg sales rule. A restaurant owner has filed suit challenging an Arizona regulation that will require cage-free housing for all egg sales within the state. What makes this case different than other similar challenges is that this rule was not passed by voters like California's Proposition 12 or the state legislature, but was instead instigated by the Arizona Department of Agriculture. The lawsuit primarily focuses on challenging the agency's authority to enact this regulation. So I'll keep you guys up to date on that. So it sounds like sounds like there's a little bit of leadership issue within the Department of Agriculture in Arizona, because that sounds like to me, same that restaurant owner said, they're kind of stepping out of their bounds. Can you imagine only getting eggs from people from their yards and backyards where they were cage-free? So I don't know, man. This world is going crazy. Well, let's go ahead and take a Wheeler General Store break. When I come back, we'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast, and we're going to talk about the world agriculture supply and demand estimates, and also there's studies that are going on right now in Nebraska that has come up with some organic alternative for fighting cattle pestering flies. So this ought to be good. Can't wait to see what it is. Be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Medical school for doctors and training programs for nurses are great, but some doctors and nurses go beyond the minimum requirements. They become certified in a specialty by the board that governs their branch of medicine. To achieve that, doctors and nurses have to go through extensive education after they graduate. There's a doctor and two nurse practitioners in Elk City who are all board certified in urology. Dr. Cole Wooten and nurse practitioners Tracy Lane and Aaron Doherty. In all of Western Oklahoma, there are only three nurse practitioners certified in urology. Tracy and Aaron are two of the three. When the governing board certifies you, that means you're among the best there is. At Urology Associates Western Oklahoma, that's what you get. Dr. Cole Wooten and certified urological nurse practitioners Tracy Lane and Aaron Doherty. 522 North Main in Elk City. On Facebook, search Urology Associates Western Oklahoma.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? High cotton. It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts, from gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom bats. Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325. For all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, here is your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update, and I picked the big metropolitan area, capital of Harmon County, even though some people think it's Reed or Benson. It's not. It's Hollis. 62 degrees. Dew point's 30. Humidity's 29. Winds right now out of the north-northwest at 9 miles an hour. 10-day rainfall total 0.26 inches, a little over a quarter. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 49 degrees. 1-day average 10-inch fractional water, 0.2. And looks like you guys are in a D3 drought right at the moment. Sunset 5:28, sunny, 68 degrees, winds out of the northwest, 9 to 12 miles an hour today, and then we have 35 tonight, north winds tomorrow, same thing as up in the northern part of the state. It's going to be pretty breezy out of the north at 10 to 20 miles an hour with wind gust up to 30 and 50 degrees for high. So there's your Hobart Farm and Garden long range forecast. I got a cool story for you out of California, which is very rare. And here we go. It was exhausting. L.A. vegan restaurants are putting meat back on the menu. How about that? California has been the forefront of healthful eating and plant-based cuisine for decades. For restaurants like Cheap Panessi in Berkeley to Michael's in Greater Los Angeles. But despite decades of offering meatless this or gluten-free that, some Southern California restaurants have recently decided that they're going in, that have been going entirely vegan is not a recipe for long-term financial success. After years of being vegan, some very well-known LA restaurants are adding meat, dairy, and or both back to their menus to appeal to a larger audience. The landscape was much different when we opened 8 years ago, said Frederick Garria, a popular burger spot, Burger Lords, which has two locations in L.A. The first restaurant launched in 2015 with both beef and meat-free patty, but in 2020, the nearly lifelong vegetarian decided to take the restaurant entirely vegan. My brother Max, then a partner in the restaurant, and I were scared to open an all-vegan restaurant, he tells. When COVID hit, we said, screw it, and decided that it was time. The brothers, the Guerrier brothers, I guess that's how you say that, served house-made veggie patties made from 30 vegetables, nuts, grains, and spices, as well as a homemade plant-based beefy patty done in the style of Impossible or Beyond Meat Burger. Hope to stand out in the burger-saturated L.A., and appeal directly to the area's specific vegan population. Even in a city like Los Angeles, which has constantly been named one of the most vegan-friendly cities of meat-free dining options, target the vegan market and may prove to be too limiting. A Gallup poll in August of this year, for instance, found that only 1% of America's identify as vegans, which is nothing wrong with that, with 4% considering themselves vegetarian. For the past 3 years as a vegan restaurant, it was exhausting trying to build the community. We were always petitioning for people to come into the restaurant, he said. That menu lasted until July of 2023 when he decided to start making beef patties again, sourcing grass-fed, grass-finished beef from Cream Company Meats in Northern California. It was important to use a very high-quality and responsibly sourced product for the burgers, not some commodity ground beef. He said he cites both financial concerns and the lack of interest in the all-vegan menu as reasons for the change. We felt like we had to open the restaurant up to more people, but we also saw a lot of vegan restaurants throwing in the towel also. He points to closures of several outposts of Monty's Good Burger, a LA vegan burger chain. That says something. He also points into the rise of products like Impossible Foods and Beyond Meat, while positive for bringing awareness for vegetarians, and that comes with their own social, but that came with their own social hurdles. We also had this feeling those companies were creating this to try it culture, meaning the meatless patties were seen as a gateway to consume fewer animal products, but it wasn't really sticking. We felt that at the restaurant, too, people were more open to try it at once, but they ultimately just wanted to have the comfort of what they know. Burger Lord's isn't the only restaurant to ditch a meat and dairy-free menu. Margo's Restaurant in Santa Monica, California, also went non-vegan over the summer. Owner Mark Verge told Eater LA that it was a decision to make to save the restaurant. I think if we did not make the change, we were definitely going to have to close her down. I was probably going to lose 30 jobs. We were just not going to last going plant-based only. The Eater article also noted that Margo's first week offering meat on the menu made for one of the best weeks the restaurant has had from a financial standpoint. Verge did not respond to request to the SF Gate to comment on this article. Pizza, that don't even sound good, which opened in 2022, also moved from an all-vegan menu to using dairy on its pies this fall. Owner Alex Cones wrote in an October Instagram post, "I recently rekindled my relationship with dairy cheese. I recognize that not everybody is a fan of dairy, but we're committed to maintaining the same level of quality we expect from our vegan offerings with no shortcuts." There you go. It's not working. And anyway, got that. And let's see here. All right. Here's from the World Agriculture Supply and Demand Estimates. Wheat. The outlook for the 23-24 U.S. wheat this month is unchanged. Supplies and domestic use, higher exports, and reducing Indian stocks. Exports are raised 25 million bushels to 725 million on several large recent export sales of soft red winter wheat to China. Soft red winter wheat exports also raised 30 million bushels to 175, the largest soft red winter wheat export since 2013 and 14, which is good. Projected all wheat ending stocks are reduced by 25 million to 659 million bushels, still up 13% from last year. The season average farm price is raised 0.10 cents to per bushel to 730 a bushel on lower projected stocks. So anyway, the global wheat outlook for 23-24 is for higher supplies, consumption, and trade with reduced stocks. Supplies are raised 1.3 million tons to 2.9 million tons. Coarse grains, corn in other words. This month's 23-24 U.S. corn outlook is for higher exports and lower ending stocks. Exports are raised 25 million bushels to 2.1 billion, reflecting the pace of sales and shipments to date. With no other use changes, corn ending stocks are reduced 25 million bushels to 2.1 billion. The average season average corn price received by producers is unchanged at $4.85 a bushel, way down from last year. Global coarse grain production for 23 to 24 is 2.7 million tons higher to 1.502 million, and basically the 23-24 foreign coarse grain outlook is for larger production, increased trade, and higher ending stocks. Foreign corn production is raised with increases for Russia, Ukraine, the EU, and Egypt, partially offset by reductions for Mexico and Canada. Corn production for Ukraine and Russia is raised based on reported harvest results to date. Corn exports are raised for Ukraine, the United States, and Turkey. Corn imports are higher from Mexico and Iraq. Barley exports are raised for Canada, while imports are raised for China. If that makes sense to you. For 22-23, corn imports also raised for Mexico, but lower for the EU and Saudi Arabia. Rice looks like it's in good shape. Oil seeds, there we go. Total U.S. oilseed production for 23-24 is forecast at 121.5 million tons, down slightly due to reduction for cottonseed. Soybean supply and use projections for the 23-24 are unchanged from last month. The U.S. season average soybean price forecast is unchanged at $12.90 a bushel. The soybean meal price forecast is increased $10 to $390 per short ton. And soybean oil prices is forecast at 57 cents per pound, down 4 pennies. And there you go. Sugar, there's Sugar Daddy. They got a column in there for sugardaddy.com right there out of Delhi, Oklahoma. Looks like Mexico is projected to at 5.283 million tons of sugar. That's down from last year quite a bit. Anyway, production costs are lower this year for sugar, and the sugar supply for the United States has been increased by 119 million short tons, raw value, mostly on the increase in imports. Livestock and poultry and dairy. The forecast for the 23 red meat and poultry production is raised from last month, as higher pork and broiler forecasts for the fourth quarter are partially offset by lower turkey. Beef production is unchanged, with lower expected cattle slaughter offset by higher dress weights. Pork production is raised on higher slaughter. Broiler production is raised on current slaughter. And that's everybody except for Arizona, where you got to have cage-free chickens. All right, here we go. Cotton. This month's 23-24 U.S. cotton forecast includes lower production, mill use, and ending stocks. Production is reduced 314,000 bales to 12.8 million, largely due to a 500,000 bale decrease in the Texas crop. U.S. mill use is reduced to 150,000 bales as spinning activity continues to lag, and at 1.9 million bales is expected to be the lowest since 1884. I hope that's right. It said it's expected to be the lowest since 1884. I don't know if they missed a number there, but anyway, ending stocks are now projected 100,000 bales lower than in November at 3.1 million bales, or 22% of disappearance. The projected upland cotton season average farm price is unchanged at 77 cents per pound. The global December 23-24 cotton balance sheet includes lower consumption and higher ending stocks than last month. World consumption is projected at 1.6 million bales, largely due to a 1 million bale reduction in China. Turkey's consumption forecast is 400,000 bales lower, and the United States and Mexico are also down, while Bangladesh is up 100,000 bales. So there you go. This was approved by the Secretary of Agriculture. There you go. That's what happened today with their new report. And that's why the prices are just, they're not going crazy on soybeans and soybean meals, but it's going in the red pretty quick. But wheat looks all right. Cotton is down a whole penny now. March is at 81.53 now. Down, actually, a little over a penny now. So there we go. Okay, here we go. I got time for this, I think. Let me see. Yep, I got time for this. When cattle are fighting flies in the summer, they gather in tight bunches, leading them to eat less while experiencing more stress and discomfort. Beef producers have limited options for controlling the flies that pester their cattle. Moreover, existing insecticides are losing their effectiveness on insects develop resistance to repeated use. And that's no joke. Dave Boxler, a Nebraska Extension biologist at the West Central Research, Extension, and Education Center, has worked with this company for 15 years to develop a new insecticide that is organic and doesn't affect honeybees or bumblebees. The insecticide is based on two fatty acids derived from palm oil. The new insecticide shows promise for organic producers, and it should be for the regular producers too, who currently don't have many effective economical fly control options. And for conventional producers who want to use products that are safer for people, animals, and the environment. And the field trials where cattle walked through an automatic sprayer that misted them with the insecticide, Boxler and his team found that the flies swerved away from animals that had been treated as expected. How surprised to find that the spray also killed the target flies on contact, which is an added benefit. So as soon as they're waiting on EPA approval for the cattle specific version. So as soon as it comes out, I'll let you guys know. Anyway, you guys have a great weekend. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Sayre in Elk City, Oklahoma. God bless.
Winning a prize for your best girl.